So our very first sponsor, and it is HelloFresh, and we are so excited not just to have an ad that we can give to you guys, but an ad that I actually use.
And you have, yeah.
Yeah, so my cooking skills are below average.
Yeah, something like
They're
that.
not that great, but using HelloFresh, everything is weighed out for you, measured. You can't go wrong. It's so easy
Yeah.
how to cook.
And dummies, Bryony can do it. Now, I've literally been to Bryony's and I had the, oh, what was it you made me? The Irish
Irish stew,
stew. Oh,
lovely.
it was so good. It was so good. And like, I can honestly say, I would have thought somebody else cooked it if I didn't watch you do it, genuinely. And also, I helped you eat the leftovers, that cheeseburger
Yeah,
thing.
I had che yeah, I can't remember what it's called. It was cheese, it was like wedges and cheeseburger. It was so
It
delicious.
was good.
It was
Yeah, I
nice.
say I helped you eat it. Might have been a little bit,
You
but
ate quite a lot.
it was really, really good. So, like, if that's the kind of thing that you're into.
Easy. I do it because it's easy. My life is really, really busy at the
Yeah.
moment, and that's sort of, you can do the meals in 10, 15 minutes. Prep time, cooking. You've got a meal on the table in half an hour,
Yeah.
45 minutes, and everyone in my family eats it.
Yeah. And there's so much choice.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
So to get this offer, use code HELLO60AFF.
That is HELLO60AFF for 60% off your first box and then 25% off for the next 2 months.
Mean, that's not bad, is it?
That's a good
It's worth
offer.
a
I
try,
feel
if
like
nothing else.
you need to get that offer.
Honestly, if Bryony can do it, you can do it.
It is for dummies, some of them, and I'll admit I cannot cook. I don't like cooking,
No.
but I do like this. It's simple,
Yeah.
it's easy. I can't go wrong. Step-by-step instructions,
Yeah.
man. It says when to put stuff in the pan. You cannot go wrong. But anyway, yeah, so honestly, use code HELLO60AFF for 60% off your first box and then 25% off for 2 months after that. Thank you.
Welcome to Trust in Evil.
I'm Sam.
I'm Bryony.
And we are possibly on 44/41, depending what order we do this in.
Depending on what people pick. Okay, so we haven't really got anything to say because we're still recording from. Oh, if you can hear me moving, I'm ever so sorry. I'm just getting comfy.
Okay, you
Sorry.
do you, babe.
We've got a new
A new, a
microphone.
different one. We have got this going
Mate, we had
on.
none. Now we've got fucking two.
Microphone's coming out of our houses.
Fucking hell, going in.
Ooh, kinky.
Right, so today's my case, and I've got
Okay.
another child case on this one. Both minor children, involving children,
Blah, blah, blah.
involving children, but you know what I mean. Right, so today, this case is shocking. It is a really sad case, if I'm honest with you. And I seen it on TikTok, and I was like, ooh, to
Down with the
check this
kids,
case
got the
off.
TikTok.
And check this case. I see a lot of cases on TikTok, actually, but they're only like 30, 40 second like clips of it.
Clips,
And then
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you go down a rabbit hole then, don't you?
No, I don't, because I don't have TikTok for that reason.
I don't at the moment. So I don't know any cases. I haven't got a case for my next one. Actually, I have.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. I'm all
Shut
right.
up.
Okay, so today is Kimberly
Maura.
Mora, thank you, and Scott Fairmount or
Fremont.
Fremont. Fremont.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Right, so
I don't know this case. I am just reading her
this is quite a
notes.
new case, if I'm honest with you. I think they were charged in 2021, 2022.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was during COVID this case happened, like they fucking all are at the moment.
I feel like that's how everything's judged now, is like
Yeah,
post-COVID and
it is, isn't it?
pre-COVID.
It is actually. So Kimberly and Scott met and fell in love. Between them, they had three children, from what I can gather, three or four children. I'm not 100% sure about that. I think she had one from a previous relationship. He had one from a previous relationship. They
Okay.
had one together, but it's really difficult
Okay.
to. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, there was a few children living in the house, okay? And her job was selling Scentsy products on Facebook.
Good old Sensi.
Yeah, and Scott was employed at before COVID, I think, because he
Right.
was working like 70 hours. He's working
Okay.
a lot. I don't know if he was employed during COVID.
Likelihood he wasn't, maybe, because loads of
Yeah.
people weren't.
Yeah. So,
Do you know what he was doing pre-COVID?
no, I don't know what his job was, no.
Okay.
But he did work like 70 hours. Okay, so today we're talking about Max Schulberg. It's also known as Maxwell. So his given name is Maxwell, but we'll call him Max throughout the case because that's what he's known as. He was Scott's biological child, so Kim's stepson.
Yeah.
They lived in Annaville, Pennsylvania. They moved in October 2017 To be fair, the house was nice, actually. I looked it up and it was actually a really nice house. Yeah. For us in the UK, it would be like a detached home.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. Posh.
Mm, yeah. We all wish we could have one. So Kimberly and Scott were accused of causing the death of 12-year-old Maxwell.
Okay.
Now, they both met when Max was two. So Kimberly had been in his life for 10 years at this stage.
That's a while, isn't it? A significant amount of time.
And he had a really appalling life throughout his whole, I think.
All of it.
Well, I think beforehand, when he was two, from up until he was two, I don't think he did. And his mum and dad were together for a bit and she was seeing him. Okay. And then they, I've probably put it in here, but they took, they kept moving, basically.
Okay.
So
I was going to ask where she brought it up. Is his mum around at this point?
No. Okay. No, they kept, she didn't know where they were, basically. She had no idea where they were. And maybe she could have found out if she'd have looked a bit harder. Maybe she did was looking. I don't know. But okay. She didn't know where they were. And it's really sad because when you when you are moving around and you can move anywhere, and you, like, you know, you've
got, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, of course it is. And they probably weren't posting stuff on Facebook, like saying, oh, we live here.
You know? I'm guessing the dad had full custody?
Yeah. Or? I don't know why, or if he just took him. I just don't know. But the mum did want to see him.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that, in my opinion, they both took a disliking to Max. Now, we see this when parents and step-parents abuse just one child and other children in the house are looked after. And this basically was the case. The children, the other children in the house, they went to school. They did after-school activities.
Mm-hmm.
They had parties. They had loads of food. They were really well looked after.
And that's sad because, obviously, there's not any part of us that wants to go where they all should have been abused. That's fair.
Yeah.
But this poor little kiddie that sees his brothers and sisters being treated so well and thinking, what the hell have I done?
Yes.
That's just sad too,
and I don't understand
it?
Why they took such a disliking to him, because I don't think he was a difficult child or anything. And you find that as well. Like, if they are difficult, it's harder to abuse them, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes it's easier if they're a bit more submissive and whatnot. It's just easy to pick on them, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So Max died a slow and painful death. His body was found in May 26, 2020. So in court, the last photos that were shown of Max before, like, basically, the like, and in the courtroom when you do, like, your closing arguments, okay. The last photos that were shown in the courtroom was Max, and he was happy, healthy, smiling in the bath. And this photo is what is, if you look him up, you'll see this photo.
Okay.
And he looks so cute. Yeah. Little blonde-haired boy, smart, he looks ever so cute.
Maybe post it on the group.
Yeah, I will. Like I said, Max's death was really, really slow and painful. And I want to keep saying that because he died. He just basically died of hunger
and
abuse. But, like, his body, he was so skinny, so, so skinny. He was emaciated and suffered from blunt force trauma. He was also locked in a room for 24 hours a day. His stomach, at the end of his life, he couldn't even digested food. Aww. It was that far gone. He never went to school. He never saw a doctor. The room was dirty, cold. All the windows had been blacked out, like, so he couldn't see out of them. The door was bolted from the outside. He had, like, a bed in his room, and it was just disgusting. It was full of, like, it stunk as well, because he had to go to the toilet in there.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, and also, I think at the end of anyone's life, like, you smell anyway.
There's just no dignity in death at the best of time. I mean, there can be dignity in death, don't get me wrong, there is, but there's no nice way to die if it's the nicest of deaths, is there?
No.
This is fucking horrific.
Exactly. So the children were obviously spoken to, and the children that lived with Max said that when Kimberly and Scott would go into Max's room, he would scream and cry. They had cameras on Max, so he couldn't go out the room, basically. So if he did manage to get out, that's had cameras everywhere.
Something we're seeing a lot of now as
I know. I don't understand it. I, like, it's a control
it's
thing.
Control, yeah.
For the people they're abusing, but
fear for the kids. They can't do anything, you know.
Yeah, because we saw it in Arthur's case, didn't he? Like, he was so scared to even breathe, I think, at times. Arthur, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. He was called Arthur.
I can never do his last name. Is it
Lambergo?
Lambino.
But it was a really, really sad case, and he died a really tragic death.
Yeah, that's another little picture of him smiling that sticks in my memory.
No, exactly.
Haunts me forever.
So like I said before, the other children were enrolled in school. They had fun, fulfilling lives. Neighbours said that the day before Maxwell's death, Kim and Scott had a pool party.
Oh, right.
I know. And had all the grown-ups in and out all day. Kimberly had sent messages on Facebook about how she would abuse him, how she didn't like him.
To who? Who was she sending these to?
She was sending it, I think, to like her friends and that. Like, I don't really know. But
I was going to say, because at this pool party, why was no one saying, where's the little boy?
No, they didn't even know he lived there. Didn't even know they had a little boy living there, like, of that age. Like, you know, yeah, they only thought they had these three or four children. But I will play you a clip, and I have to play it because it's really well done and it explains this case in so much detail. And she says in the clip, like, that basically, Kim saying she didn't do anything, she didn't harm him. But if you look at messages that were sent from her Facebook, she hated him. She had not a nice word to say about him.
What case does that remind
you
of?
Yeah, exactly. And you think, if she didn't like him that much,
give him to his mum or
I know.
Anywhere.
Or if she did like him, because I mean, at the end of the day, she'd been in his life since he was two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time to be in someone's life. Now, she's saying she never saw any abuse. So where did she think he was?
I call bullshit.
Like, she talks absolute rubbish, I know. And they say this.
They
in the
always
clip.
Do this, though, don't they? They're like, oh, I didn't know. Fuck off.
Yeah, I know. So none of us actually know how long Max was kept, like, in this dirty, horrible room, but his body and stuff, it looks like he was abused for years.
Aww.
We say this often, that abuse will start small and lead up to more physical abuse. It's likely they see what they can get away with, and often the other abuser parent will let it go. Like, mm-hmm. I think, you know, like, they'll hit them and the other parent won't really do anything about it. So I think, well, I can hit them because they didn't do anything about it. They don't care. And then
the sad thing is, it becomes normal.
Yeah. But it's just weird because obviously these other children were so well looked after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they were
I
fed.
Would be very interested to know if they were hers.
I think they all were hers. I think one, I'm sure she had one from a previous relationship and then one or two with
both
him.
Both belonged to her.
Yeah, but yeah, the only one that didn't belong to her was Max, and he was the one that got abused.
Mm-hmm.
So when Max was found, his body was described as filthy. He had feces that was actually growing mould. He had a cup of water by his bed. An autopsy was done at Liverley Hospital on the 1st of June. So this is sad. This is his autopsy, okay? So, Max weighed 47 and a half pounds.
God.
This is half the average weight of a boy his age. He also was a lot shorter than the average 12-year-old. So again,
stunted his growth. Yeah, because he didn't have any nourishment.
I did touch on this earlier. By the time Max died, his stomach could not digest food anymore. I looked up how long this would take. So I've got, as a result of discontinued eating, patients can die in as early as a few days. For most people, this period without food normally lasts about 10 days, but it's rare. In the rare instance, it can last several weeks.
And I imagine there's difference for children and adults and whatnot.
And I do think he was given
tidbits, like enough to keep him going, but not to sustain
and
him.
And water. And obviously, if you have water, you can live a lot longer without food. So with no food and water 1 week, with no food but just water 2 to 3 months, I reckon, roughly. So he was getting food and water. We just don't know
how much.
And I think it was literally barely enough to keep him alive.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine there was probably like an instance where they could see him failing and they're like, oh, we better just
give him something. And then at the end of it, he couldn't eat at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he had no muscle mass and his bones were weak. He had blunt force trauma to his head.
Oh,
Max couldn't have walked towards the end of his life, they said. When the police entered the home, they knew that this was bigger than they could deal with, and they knew they needed help with this case. So they called in another police force to help. So this police force, the original police force, doesn't really deal with murders and things like that.
Well done for them for noticing that, though, because they don't always.
No, I know they don't. They try and do it themselves, and I'm glad they did, because they had enough evidence, I think, to anyway. Right, so I'm going to play you a clip from DA Lebanon. I'll play it now. And this goes into a lot of detail. It's like a news clip. You can find this out there, so I won't play it all, but you have to listen to it because she goes into so much detail about why she thinks they should be charged and, you know, all that jazz.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Today marks the close, the culmination of the Maxwell Schellenberger cases and trials. Today, Kimberly Maurer was sentenced by Judge Bradley Charles. She received a sentence of life without parole and then a consecutive period of 10 to 20 years. The consecutive sentences were based on the endangering the welfare of a child charge, and that's based over the course of conduct, meaning the 10 years of malnutrition, abuse, and neglect that the two defendants would have inflicted on Maxwell. In all candor, the comments that I had, I said upstairs, I know many of you, if not all of you, were present, and the real purpose for today was to allow you to ask your questions in one totality, so I'll open up for questions at that time.
There was testimony at trial that Max suffered recent and older head trauma. Does the Commonwealth have a theory on who inflicted the recent head trauma that was found?
So there is no actual set theory as to whether it is the stepmother, Kimberly Maurer, versus the father, Scott Schellenberger. Maxwell was found to have recent blunt force trauma to his head area, but he also had evidence of older, somewhat healed blunt force trauma, not only in the head, but also throughout his back and his extremities. When we talked to the pathologist, as well as Dr. Carter, who truly was an expert for children who unfortunately are starved and die, he had indicated that it can come from falling, it can come from slipping, it can come from an inflicted injury that then heals on its own. So there's no way to tell based on the older injuries or the more recent injuries who would have actually done it to Maxwell if it was inflicted versus if the child had tried to hold himself up, had tried to roll over, and perhaps had hit an area of the bed or the bed frame. What we can tell you is that the bottom of Maxwell's feet at the time he died, they were covered, they were caked in fecal matter, the actual bottoms of them. So there's no evidence that Maxwell ever got out of that bed and walked around. First of all, his body was so malnutritioned that his bone density wouldn't have supported him getting up to walk. He couldn't have taken himself to the bathroom. He couldn't have gone to the window. He couldn't have made it to the door. But there's also no feces footprints anywhere in that room to indicate that Maxwell would have done that, even if physically he would have been able to do that.
Can you just repeat the sentencing again?
Sure. So today, Ms. Maurer received on count one, which is first-degree criminal homicide, she received a sentence of life without parole. That's a mandatory sentence for a first-degree homicide. The jury found her guilty of multiple other counts. However, those counts merged for sentencing purposes. So she was sentenced today on count one, first-degree murder, life without parole. She was sentenced on count five, endangering the welfare of a child, meaning Maxwell. That count was charged as a felony course of conduct, meaning it wasn't one incident. It was a series of incidents that, from our allegations, what the jury found was over a period of approximately 10 years. And it was continued, growing, prolonged abuse, malnutrition, starvation. And then at the end of it, obviously, there was blunt force trauma that was inflicted within a day or two of his passing away. So on count five, the endangering the welfare, and count six, which was criminal conspiracy for endangering the welfare of Maxwell, the judge imposed the same sentence, 5 to 10 years of state incarceration. He imposed those consecutively to one another, meaning back to back, and then also consecutively to the life without parole. So in totality, it's a life without parole, and then 10 to 20 years consecutively to be imposed or served on top of that count one sentence.
Thank you.
Here, when Scott Schellenberger pled guilty and was immediately sentenced, his public defender, Ryan Niedrich, did the talking, essentially. We didn't hear from Scott at all. We heard, although we couldn't really hear Kimberly this morning in the courtroom, but my sense is she was deflecting. I did hear one snippet where she said, I tried to do stuff, but Scott kept telling me I wasn't his mother and I couldn't do anything. Sure. Did Scott ever own any responsibility in your conversations or your dealings with him? Apparently, Kimberly has owned nothing.
Correct. So from the onset of the investigation, the question was, did these two act completely, implicitly, equally to one another, or was one more of a major proponent of abuse and one was more of a minor, I know what's happening, but I'm not stepping in. What we found through the 2 years between death and trial is that based on a review of the way the household functioned, based on the thousands upon thousands of pages of cell phone records, Facebook records, their interviews, Kimberly Maurer, for the majority of that household, was in control. She dictated how the finances were spent. She dictated the activities the children did. She was the one to do the grocery orders and the everyday-to-day functions that you need to maintain a household. But she also dictated how those things occurred, when they occurred, who did what, and a lot of that was really out of her hand. We found Scott was working upwards of 70, 80 hours a week, right up until COVID, and he really wasn't home. He was working second and third shift. When he was home, he was asleep. And to some extent, he sort of washed his hands of anything other than bringing the finances back into the residence. So Ms. Maurer was the one applying for welfare benefits. So she did. She applied for medical benefits, including for Maxwell. She applied for food stamps, including for Maxwell. And that all occurred. She was still trying right up until the time of Maxwell's death. So when you look at who was in control of the overall household and the relationship dynamic, for our end of things, it truly did appear to be her. And that was a lot of that relevant for trial, breaking up. He wasn't sitting next to her at the table. It was a matter of how did she treat him? What did she say about him? And when you look at the text messages and the Facebook messages, it spoke for itself. She said a horrible thing. She cursed about that child. She bragged about abusing him. She bragged about how worthless he was, what a pain he was, what a joy the other children were. We found for a period of 9 years, there wasn't a single pleasant comment, nothing loving, nothing sweet, ever directed by her about Maxwell. And when you talk about the things that were said upstairs in court, I did take some notes. So she said that she tried to call Children and Youth and that was never acted upon. That never happened. We had hundreds of pages of Children and Youth records. We met with Children and Youth in preparation for trial. She never called. She was present a few times when they were called to the home by other people, but she really washed her hands of it even then. So that never happened. When she talked about how she took Maxwell to the beach and to Knoebels and the foods he liked and how she made him a Halloween costume, we went through tens of thousands of pages of Facebook records, cell phone records, and these span years upon years. There's not a single piece of evidence that ever supports that happened. We have it of her and other children. We have nothing of Maxwell. In her phone, we found, I would say, 10,000 photos, approximately. There was one photo of Maxwell, and we showed it during trial. It was Halloween, right after they moved to Anvil, so approximately October 2017. Every other child, including friends of her two oldest biological children, had a costume that looked like a normal Halloween, and they're in the backyard. Maxwell has no costume. He's standing approximately 3 feet from that group of smiling, happy children, and the look in his face is just sheer dejection. He knows. Even 3 years before his death, he knows, and he's forced to look at and watch that I am different. I am treated differently, and those children are loved, and I am not. And then not only did she take the picture, she sent it on Facebook to friends of hers and then laughed about how she couldn't post it publicly. So when you talk about the things that she said upstairs, there is no evidence that Scott was tracking her, that he was watching her inside the house. They had cameras on Maxwell, and she used those to taunt Maxwell. She bragged about that in text messages. She wanted those cameras because she was afraid he would break out. She was afraid he would get free from the room. And when we talk about the growing culmination of abuse, he started out in that front middle bedroom. One hook on the door. That wasn't good enough. So then they had to move into that back bedroom and isolate him further. And then at that point, we go to three hooks in the door, and not only three hooks, but now we're gonna cover the windows. We're gonna screw the windows shut so he couldn't look out if he wanted to. He had no light, no light bulbs, nothing. So in terms of the comments she made upstairs, there was no evidence of any of the things that she said. It frankly did appear to be a last ditch effort for some measure of leniency or mercy from the court on the day where she knows she will finally have to face the consequence for the actions she took. And she uttered a phrase upstairs about how looking back, even now, she can see no way out.
So I really wanted to play that because she just did him justice. I think she spoke really well about him.
This Kimberly is a massive, great, big, chuffing liar. And B, even if she was telling the truth, she's just as bad.
I know, that's what I mean. Because she was saying, you know, if she was there, but she knew the abuse was happening, but she didn't do anything about it. But actually, they've proven, I think, that worse than that. Like she said, she was the one applying for food stamps. She was the one doing the shopping.
She was there.
She was the one there all the time.
She was there. She was the main carer. Whether he was hers or not, she was the main carer.
Exactly. So his dad, he pled guilty. So he got 10 years. He got life plus 10 years in prison. So he will never get out.
Good.
I'm so sad he didn't get the death penalty.
Yeah.
I'm really sad.
All right. Maybe he wasn't the main abuser, but he knew it was going on.
They both abused him.
Oh, they had to have. But
there's no way
is...
you'd let someone. Well, actually, no. We've seen it.
Yeah.
But I just think as a dad that loved their child, there's no way you would see your child separated in a room, locked in a room.
No. He's just as bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And as then, you said, I think he probably did add to it as well, but less devil's advocate, he didn't. He's just as bad for letting it happen.
Yeah, 100%. So, but he just pled guilty. He's like, look, I've done it.
Yeah.
I'm holding my hands up. Like, less, we all hate him. He's an absolute asshole. But he didn't go through a trial. She went through a trial because she thought she could turn it around, see?
Yeah,
she
and thought, make people believe
because he's pled guilty, I can stand up and say, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, you know, is it... It's worse because other people have to go through that trial then.
Yeah, his mum had to sit there.
Yeah.
You know, and listen family. To how he was abused, you know? So she was found guilty of first degree murder. The woman did say this, but I'll say it again. First degree murder, 7 other charges. After a 6-day trial, The charges include counts of criminal conspiracy with Scott Schollenberg. I can't say his name. To commit first degree murder and in danger of Max, basically. So she hopefully will never get out, neither.
I hope she gets her ass handed to her in prison.
I know. It's just sad because people reported her social services before.
Yeah.
She did. Yeah, there was reports that because she said she rung social services, or it's not, it's like child protection people.
Yeah,
he's abusing Maxwell, you know, but there was no record of that. But they did find records of when they went to her house because they'd been called on her. But like I said, she was sending pictures to people, like openly admitting that like she hated him. Do you know what I mean?
She definitely alluded to neglect, if not actual abuse.
I think I wouldn't put it past her for her to be the main abuser.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure.
She was there a lot of the time. At the end of the day, even if she didn't like him very much and he had to go into that room, there's no reason why she couldn't go in there 3 times a day and give him something to eat and drink.
Yeah.
There's no reason. To abuse somebody is awful, but to control what they eat, I know it's a form of abuse, but to control what they eat, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Even if you're just giving them pasta and
it's
water.
It's showing some sort of humanity towards him, and this little boy wasn't shown any, was he? By no one.
No, and at the end of it, like they said, his stomach couldn't have even taken food.
No, he couldn't physically walk, he couldn't move.
Under his bed, they found a burger and some chips or whatever, and it had all like mould on it. Mm. So he'd obviously been given that, couldn't eat it.
Although, why was it under his bed? They knew he couldn't move. Was that to taunt him?
I don't know.
Because I think these people were sick enough to do that. Yeah, kind of
to be
stuff.
Fair, probably, yeah. Yeah.
If they knew that he couldn't physically get out of bed, I don't understand why it would be under the bed.
Mm, yeah. Thing is, though, even if he did eat it, it would probably made him really ill.
Yeah.
You know what it's like when you haven't had food? Even when I've had, like, last time I had that really bad bug and I didn't eat for a whole week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it killed me to eat after. I felt really ill.
Yeah.
Actual eating made me feel ill.
I just can't. Even if your kid's horrible, I can't just get my head around why you would... Why?
Yeah.
I can't.
But this is a COVID case. This all happened during COVID. There's so many of them now.
Yeah.
So many.
Thing is, I think it would have happened anyway, but it gave invisibility cloak, didn't it? To be able to do it without eyes.
They were abusing him long before then. Like I said, he hadn't seen a doctor in years. He didn't go to school. The rest of the kids
I would imagine
school.
This started not long after she turned
and
up.
And this is why you need... If you enroll in them into homeschool, you need checks. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Somebody should be coming to welfare check this child. All right, not every week or anything. That's unreasonable.
There was a girl I met. I was talking to her. She homeschools her children, right? Do you know what she told me?
What?
When she set them all up, she had to do a Zoom video to show whoever it was. Look, this is there. There's a little desk. That's what they're learning. She said that was about 5 years ago. She never done it again.
Really?
So she's had this homeschooling stuff for 5 years.
Yeah, schools get inspections and whatnot.
Yeah.
Teachers are checked.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if these kids aren't seeing doctors and stuff, I mean...
They're just lost, aren't they?
Yeah, completely lost. It's terrible. It'd be so easy.
I think we've said loads of times, though, you know, in a perfect world, this, that, the other. Yeah, we get... It's not perfect. Yeah, we get all of that, but... Nothing's being checked.
Years, and she had to do a Zoom to start, like, you know, like a video and send it to her. Wouldn't the Zoom? Because Zoom would have been around then. Yeah, like a video to be like, this is what I'm doing. There you go. Have this video. Oh yeah, brilliant. Ticked off.
Yeah, great. It's not right at all, is it?
And even if they're not learning what they learn in school, because they don't have to. I'm not saying that, but just think how easy it would be to abuse these children because she hasn't been checked for 5 years.
Yeah,
these children could not even fucking be alive.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. No, it's disgusting.
But I mean, luckily she's not. Well, I don't think she is. They seemed all right. But, you know, it's a scary world, man, when you think about it. Yeah. And then with COVID, like you say, it wasn't, it was just an, what did you say it was?
Like an invisibility cloak. Yeah, thank you. I'm so tired. It kept it away from prying eyes, didn't it? It was, you just, you had a reason not to be checked.
Yeah, no, you did. You really did. You could just go on and do anything, couldn't you? And no one would bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
Social services didn't want to come around to your house.
No.
You know,
and if they were coming, just say, oh, we've all got COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. And like I said, she had this, they had this massive pool party the day before. None of the neighbours knew he even lived there. Mm-hmm. They were all shocked to find out that this little boy lived there. None of them had ever seen him.
No, that's just, it's, it just happens too often. I can't, and I will never understand.
Didn't they realise, like, that, I'd be like, they must be growing weed up there, man, because that is completely covered.
Mm.
The windows are completely covered.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You'd be thinking something, surely.
I guess excuses are easy enough to come up with, though, aren't they? It's a junk room. It's full of crap. It's...
Yeah, my child has a really hard time sleeping, so we blacked out the room.
It's
yeah,
playroom, and we've covered it all up so the kids don't try and jump out the window. There's so yeah, many things very that true. You could come up with, which could be plausible, because people yeah. don't expect that to be happening.
No, and as long as no one's going upstairs in your house.
Yeah.
And it's weird that, I mean, these children obviously went to school and stuff. They never said anything at school. Yeah. Or maybe they did and it was never really looked into further.
Yeah, it's, there's just so many yes buts and maybes, isn't it? And we'll never know because people just aren't truthful, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, exactly. Right, well, we've got another case to get, do, so let's power through.
Power through.
Power through.
On it like a car bonnet. Let's go.
I am so tired.
Yawning for emphasis.
But I love all you lovely listeners, so I'm doing it for you.
Because
I feel so bad that we didn't record. Look, I mean, we've got
how
a tear
selfless
about
are you, Bryony?
You just make my world.
Well, thank you very much, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye.